Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another episode of Fingers on...
Fingers on Buzzers.
Oh, that's what we like.
.com.
Oh, and we're all going slightly mad in lockdown, aren't we? I'm singing even more than your fingers on buzzers, singing more than usual, being a bit crazy. But the one thing we are enjoying about lockdown is the amount of quizzing, isn't it, Jen?
It's a smorgasbord of quiz is available on a basically a 24-hour basis.
A smorgasbord. So we're going to be talking about that.
Smorgasbord.
And yeah. We're going to be also talking to the Beast. Which covers many men that I know as a nickname, but the main one, my husband, it is, of course, Mark Labette, your fellow chaser. We're going to be talking to him about the smash hit Beat the Chasers, the biggest thing to happen in primetime television for quite a long time. And we've also got a listener quiz, which is, it's for charity, guys, and it's a brilliant quiz. So all of that will be coming up in a mo. So, Jen, let's talk about the amazing flourishing of quiz that is happening at the moment, because I think our discussion topic today is going to be the good and bad sides of doing quizzing over Zoom, FaceTime, WhatsApp, you know, all the various sort of video chat things that are available. I'm doing about two a week, I would say. How many are you involved in?
Me? You know, it reached critical mass very early for me, mm-hmm. and I have to say I've barely done any.
Okay.
I've had a lot of invites, and part of my reluctance to join in is that people will not thank me for going into their family and friends' quiz that they've been grafting over for a couple of days. And for me to point out the flaws in the questioning. Because best will in the world, there aren't that many professional quiz writers in the country who can be churning out all of these. And a lot of people are just Googling free quizzes on the internet and reading those questions out, and they're not the best. They're not the most reliable, and they will cause either arguments about how the question's written or what the answer is. People give alternative answers, and I think a lot of people have quickly realised how difficult it is to write and compile and to host a half-decent quiz for any group of people, even if it is for, you know, just friends and family, who should be a warm audience for you.
It's friends and family, it's can tricky. Be the most exacting audience, actually.
Oh, mine are. Oh, my goodness.
Well, see, yeah. I would be very interested to hear people's stories, good and bad, of their lockdown quizzing experiences, because I have had good and bad experiences. In fact, my regular Thursday night is an absolute joy. So my friend Jo, her dad Keith, sets us a 26 question quiz, which is an A to Z quiz, and it's absolutely brilliant. And I mean, I have to say, Keith is one of the best question setters I have encountered. I think he could be a pro question setter, because they're amazing. And even though the format of 26 questions A to Z, as he does it, is quite restrictive, because obviously there's a very limited amount of X and Z and Y answers, but he's got some brilliant ones, really inventive ones. And I love it. And I also love it for the hosting format, because Keith writes the questions, but my friend Jo and her sister Catherine kind of do the admin. And half the appeal for me is their furious and very sweary arguments with each other as a family about the, you know, like, oh, Dad, oh, why did you put that? Oh, that was terrible. Oh, you know, so there's a sort of extra layer of entertainment there. So I love that. But yeah, I, if anyone has any good stories of good and bad Zoom quizzes or whatever.
There are people who are doing it right. Yeah. And I think there are a lot of people who are getting it quite wrong. And it will spoil things for a lot of people. You know, some people, they're not the best host. But there's also people, bad competitors.
Yeah.
People are getting too competitive, or they're cheating, or a bit of both.
Yes.
It sets a bit of a bad taste in the mouth.
Well, we've
about the whole thing. When it's the point is that basically you're socialising around something. It's like going down the pub quiz. There'll be a couple of people involved who are really quite focused on the quiz, but mostly it's people to sit in the same space or in the same chat room now and be together and do the same thing and have the same experience.
But you see, some people...
And drink the same drinks.
Yeah, some people, I think, are seeing it as this is a way of structuring a video call so that we're not all just sitting there going, yeah, no, I'm fine, you know. So some people just want to be there for the social aspect, and then some people are really taking the quizzing seriously. And I think as a quiz master, that is a very difficult thing to negotiate. And also you have people who are... very au fait with technology and are very happy at looking at themselves on a video call, and then you have people like me who spend the whole time kind of cowering away from their own hideous image, and you know, if you're trying to write a Zoom quiz for people who are like, you know, four generations of your family, sometimes, you know, there are challenges involved in that. But I do think some people have been very inventive with what they've done. And again, please do send us via Twitter or email, or, you know, we're fingersbuzzers@gmail.com or @fingersbuzzers on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Please send us your best and worst if you want examples of rounds or quizzes, because a couple of my friends have done really brilliant ones. So my friend Jason did Is This a Real Ale Name or a Radiohead Song? Absolute genius. And one of my complete favourites was Jen and I did an interview with Hannah Dunleavy from the Standard Issue podcast, which is a great podcast. Do listen to it. And she said that she had devised a round for her quiz, her online quiz, which was identify the landmark or tourist attraction from the worst review that someone has left on TripAdvisor. And her example was, she said, oh, it's awful. It's just full of sick people. Which was someone's review of Lords.
Not the cricket ground, but I suppose it could.
Yeah. Either way,
it could apply.
It could work.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of the skill is in pitching it right and doing something creative and something that's more fun for everybody who's involved is so tricky. I saw around that James Harkin, friend of the show, and his wife Polina did, which was a visual round for their family quiz, where they recreated different scenes from TV shows and films and things from stuff around the house.
Nice.
So there's a particularly nice rendition of so James is being James Bond down a toilet roll. Just using lovely perspective and
nice, like the keyhole
ET with the cat playing the role of ET in the basket of the bike. It's really cute, absolutely fantastic. So thinking that, you know, cryptic puzzles using images and things that everyone can have a go at that isn't just straight down the line quiz, which best will in the world, it's not for everybody. I know it's all quiz fans listening to this, but not everyone in your family is going to be that into quizzes. So get them into quizzing by foul means or fair, by doing absolutely mad things like that. I will get the thread that James posted of those pictures on the Fingers on Buzzers Twitter account, because they are an absolute hoot and hopefully will inspire some people.
Fantastic. Well, talking of inspiration, I have been inspired by, and I say that when I mean I have stolen the idea from Hannah from Standard Issue, because I thought that was such a good idea, the worst reviews of things. So Jen, your opening quiz today is going to be I have found the worst reviews of movies, and you have to identify the movie from a terrible review, because who doesn't love a terrible review? Okay, so question number one. So this one, this is a movie from 2008, and someone reviewed it thus. I've had mosquito bites that were more passionate than this undead, unrequited, and altogether unfun pseudo-romantic riff on Romeo and Juliet.
I've got to go Twilight.
Yes. Well done. Okay.
I have to say, they've got a point.
Yes. I mean, I've not even seen it, but I didn't fancy it. This one was from the year 2000. So this film saves its scariest moment for the end, a virtual guarantee that there will be a sequel. And I will give you a clue. The film stars John Travolta.
From 2000, Travolta?
Yeah.
That's scary.
Well, the scary moment is the guarantee that there will be a sequel. It was based on L. Ron Hubbard's ramblings.
Get Shorty.
It was back.
No, L. Ron Hubbard. I heard L. Roy. L. Ron Hubbard.
Battlefield Earth. Battlefield
Earth. That was only 2000. I thought that was much older. No, it just feels like it should have been a long time ago.
This is a review from Amazon that I love. It's a one-star review from Amazon from a film of 2013. There were no wolves in the movie. One star.
Wolf of Wall Street. I mean, if you are a wolf enthusiast and you got quite excited about that, I mean, you're better off with the second movie in Twilight, to be fair. More wolves.
Yeah.
There were no wolves in this movie. Top complaint.
Okay. This one is a movie from 2001, and Roger Ebert, the legendary Roger Ebert, reviewed it thus. Mm-hmm. This movie doesn't scrape the bottom of the barrel. This movie isn't the bottom of the barrel. This movie isn't below the bottom of the barrel. This movie doesn't deserve to be mentioned in the same sentence with barrels.
Wow.
And it's 2001, Roger. And it starred Tom Green.
Oh, was that Freddy
it
Got
was.
Fingered? Oh, my goodness.
Which I've never seen, but...
Yeah, that review is actually quite glowing. Yeah, it was not a vintage era.
Here's a movie from 2014, and the simple review from someone on Amazon was, I don't know if I'll ever trust a woman again.
Wow.
What movie does a woman do a lot of lying in?
Oh, I can think of a few. It's usually the men who do that. I'm thinking like Liar Liar and stuff. No. Is it a comedy?
It stars Ben Affleck, Rosamund Pike, Neil Patrick Harris and Tyler Perry.
Oh, Gone Girl.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one. I just had to Google
that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all correct.
Here's one.
Yeah, fair enough.
This is a movie from 2009. This is one of those movies where victims repeatedly have opportunities to escape, but choose not to, guaranteeing still more grotesque degradation, full of gore, torture and sexual humiliation, and contains not an iota of wit or intelligence to justify any of it.
That sounds like Human Centipede.
It's Human Centipede! There you go!
I've never seen it, but it sounded like a brilliant summary of everything I've heard about.
Sounds like many TV pilots I've made as well.
Yeah.
Okay, this final one. This is a review that, again, this was from Amazon. It was a one-star review from Amazon, which says much more about the person reviewing than about the movie. I felt a disconnect with Colin Firth's character, so I couldn't fully get into this film. I'm sorry, I just don't have the patience or time to deal with people who stutter. It's annoying, and I feel that they should just not try to speak. They should just write things down on paper.
Oh my god, oh dear. That person might be being reported to social services.
Yes.
The King's
the
Speech.
The King's Speech.
Oh my goodness.
And we have just found the worst human being who has ever lived.
Yeah, there's a Facebook group that I follow which is the title is something along the lines of, well, you've just announced the entire world that you're human garbage.
Yes.
Anyone who posts anything like that.
Yep. Extraordinary. So there we go. So that's my little idea for a round.
That's lovely.
Quiz. But
thinking outside the box, and people can, you know, that's the kind of thing people can collaborate on in the little teams.
Yeah.
And work out possible answers. It's very entertaining. That's a great
idea. Please do write into us with your best and worst rounds and experiences from your lockdown quizzing.
Joining us today on Fingers on Buzzers, our special guest from his kitchen, it's Mark the Beast Labette. Hello, Mark.
Ah, hello there, Vixen. How are you? I'll let you into a little trade secret. We're like the fighter pilots from Top Gun. When we're on active duty, we call each other by our call signs.
Well, we're sort of on furlough ourselves at the moment. We can't get into the studio, which is a little bit frustrating. But keeping up the quiz knowledge in lockdown, Mark?
Oh, are you kidding me? I could probably do 4 quizzes a night if I had the time. They get so many invites. And then
they all say,
you possibly write as a quiz? And you're going, right, well, I'm going to have to charge you for my time. And they look amazed that, you know, it kind of costs to do a decent quiz.
Well, I think that is part of the thing that people are working out now is how hard it is to write a good quiz and to host a good quiz. And this is, you know, that we've been chatting about this on the show, how it is so tricky, it's so tough to do.
Well, especially when you haven't got a feel for who the likely teams are, the likely people answering it, because that'll give you feedback. And obviously it's a totally different quiz you'd write if you're dealing with a bunch of students on a fairly alcohol-fueled night, then conversely, you're doing a quiz where if you're under 70, you're regarded as a whippersnapper.
Yeah, and if you're in the same room and you're an experienced quiz master, as you are, as am I, you can do things on the fly, you can figure it out, and you can amend the quiz on the hoof, but it's just, it is so difficult with the new scenario we find ourselves in. But on the other hand, more people are quizzing every single night of the week, which means when this is all over, there's going to be this breed of super contestants we're going to have to come up against.
Maybe. I'm going to look at it another way, that at the moment you've got millions of rubbish quiz players. By the time this is over, you'll have millions of not quite so rubbish quiz players. I'm not quite so frightened of them. And besides, it's garbage in, garbage out. If you're playing a bad quiz with bad questions written by a bad setter, you're not going to get much out of it.
That is a very, very good point. It's quality rather than quantity is what I've been going for in terms of the online quiz community. But we've been glued everyone seems to have been glued to our new endeavour, which I have to talk to you about, Beat the Chasers, which was on, well, at time of recording, it's on at the moment, but with this episode will be coming out, so it'll be on last week. All right, okay, very confusing. Yeah. The stripped format of classic millionaire primetime viewing. We all had new outfits. How did you think it was going to be received by the public compared to how it is?
Well, I thought when we were in studio that the good sign was there were very few people leaving saying they had a bus to catch or whatever. And you know, if you've been on a bad show, you look round and half the audience have gone after an hour.
Yeah.
Whereas that wasn't happening at all. So that was really good news. I thought as well, I mean, I think they've edited it down very, very well because it feels a lot pacier. And the ratings have been, there's only one way to describe it, fantastic. You know, we got the show right. We got some, there's always people knocking it. Those lovely folk at Digital Spy Forums, I always notice they never say anything nice about anything.
No.
And in the space of 2 days, they've gone from, we hate this, this is the worst show ever, to, oh, actually, it's pretty good, you know.
So who knows, by Friday it might be the best show ever.
Well, I think
Monday back to we hate it. Yeah. It's not on.
Well, I think I'm really lucky because all I have sitting next to me is Anne in the lineup, and that means we're sitting there a bit like Waldorf and Statler, just making catty comments about everyone. So we're having a whale of a time, whereas you are stuck between Happy Harry over there, the most boring and miserable man in the world, and Paul, who's just had his happy pill, so he's like, it's like this sketch of Mr. Optimist, Pessimist.
Thankfully, I'm somewhere in the middle, trying to referee the two of them. Now, I should point out for the people watching at home, listening at home, we do have an observer who had a last-minute crisis of technology. So Lucy is watching and listening, and we can see her, and she is chuckling away, and she's contributing via chat. So she wants me to point out how lovely your bow tie from Beat the Chasers is, because we all had a bit of an image overhaul in our matching uniforms.
I know. I'm trying to work out whether we're looking like the SS, the Next Generation. It's a bit scary, that red and black look. Either that or we're going to be Cardinals, but then they've changed the rules for that. Yeah? I'm glad you like the bow tie. Our wardrobe, Mr. Sheena, is the expert on that. Jenny can confirm, she's known me for, 15, 20 years. Fashion sense, nil point from me, so I just wear what they say.
It's a good job they know what they're doing, because they always manage to pull something out of the bag. The other interesting element that a lot of people have picked up on is the hot mic.
Our
little side comments as the contestants come out and as they leave. It's a bit Marmite. A lot of people enjoy that because it does draw people into thinking it's, you know, they're getting a little bit of a glimpse behind the curtain. But some people can't stand it. It's very trendy at the moment.
Well, you're very good at playing it. Your comments are generally just about on point and whatever, whereas Anne's just swearing like a trooper all the time, so you just can't use them. And all I want to do is like rend them limb from limb, like Val on Wednesday's show. And when she interrupted me while I was explaining something, I just went in my turn. I wanted to scream foul mouthed abuse. I just thought, no, just destroy her.
Yeah, that's the way of showing them, is to absolutely dominate them quiz wise. I think that lady was someone who felt she was bigger than the format. She was using it as a platform. And actually, we all know the people have come to see Bradley and to watch us possibly lose. And it doesn't actually really matter who the contestant is.
Well, I think that's one of the strengths of this format, is that if you've got a contestant who isn't the most interesting or it's a bit dull, it doesn't matter. 5 minutes later, off they go, next one's on. It's been an interesting dynamic for us on how we've been answering the question, because as I keep saying, this is like our version of the Galacticos. We're not used to normally playing on a team this good. And you've got to check your ego in at the front door, which is very difficult for me.
Mm.
And realise I am not necessarily the best player on this team, and I've got to play accordingly. And don't jump in on a wild guess on, say, recent pop culture, because let's face it, Jenny, you're far more likely to get it right than I am. And I think you've had a hard time on the social media, because the number of idiots who don't realise there's a world of difference between the answer where you're just throwing in an answer to get to the next question, like what I call the sacrifice guess, mm-hmm. and the blunder, like the one I did the other day on jumping in front of you on the walking the plank. I anticipated it was going to be about pirates, and when it swerved to which TV show, I was left clueless.
Yes.
And so yeah. I feel like some of these people are going, you really don't get it. There's a good wrong answer, and you're very good at good wrong answers, and I'm very bad at them.
Yeah, there's a real element that non-quizzers won't understand about playing on a buzzer team, that there's the different roles are there. I mean, I'm sort of clock management, as you pointed out on Twitter the other day, that I'm keeping an eye on everyone else's responses, and if no one's going for it, I'm going to have to try and get onto the next question and move it on as quickly as possible.
Because those others,
it's the balance between doing that at the right moment. You do it too late, it's terrible. Yeah. You've eaten up time. You do it too early, you've treaded on someone's toes, and they were probably going to get us the point. It's so brutal.
Well, it is. We fortunately know each other quite well, and so we know to give Anne an extra second, because the number of times she will come up with the answer out of nowhere, and we'll just go, "Thank you, Anne."
Yeah.
I just laugh because I have people sort of, you know, the usual fun with Twitter. Some people are very smart, others clearly haven't got a clue, and they always ask me which two of you guys would I play with, and I'd said, "Oh, Jenny and Anne," and they look at me and they said, "Yeah, but I'm looking at the balance."
Yeah.
You and I complement each other extremely well in, if you like, I'm older pop culture, you're much more contemporary, and Anne knows all the highbrow stuff that I haven't got a clue about. Paul is brilliant and a great all-rounder, but him and me almost get in each other's way. We know too similar stuff.
Absolutely, and there becomes a bit of a buzzer race between you two, because you know you're both very fast, and there's some unconscious level, the ego is still there, and you still want to be the first one to get to it. Some of those little side looks we give, you know, you give the rest of the team. It's not about, you know, giving someone else the evils for getting a question or for not getting a question. It's because, oh, I was just about to go in there. Oh, it could have been me.
Well, I'm just going,
it's more about yourself, isn't it?
Where was Paul this fast 5 years ago? I mean, either I'm getting slower or he's getting a lot quicker. I mean,
he's been given a lot of time recently to absolutely focus on his quiz, because he loves quiz and he always has. But now he's got his husband, who is almost, or even if not more, quizaholic than he is. So they're enabling each other all the time.
Oh, yeah.
They're writing each other hard quizzes. They're testing one another. And it was shown in the fact that Paul winning the British Championships. It was down to, I witnessed it, even down to breakfast that morning.
Yeah.
Ollie was sitting there with flashcard quizzes, asking him loads of really bizarre, obtuse questions about all sorts of topics. And about three of those topics came up.
Yeah.
The more you quiz, the better you get.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's Gary Player got it right all those years ago. The harder I practice, the luckier I get. And he, it's absolutely true. University Challenge, Brandon, he reckons he does 2,000 questions a week, and I'm going, yeah, and you could see it with the work put in. I mean, it's actually, I want to swear at Paul Sidder and say, you selfish beep, because you're working that hard. It means the rest of us have got to try and keep up with you. Well, I mean, to be fair to the new guy, Dara, he's going to have to work that hard to keep up with him, because he's got to catch up.
Yeah, and it's that learning curve is very, very tough. I've been through it, obviously. You didn't have to as much because it was a brand new, you were on board from the get-go. But joining a show when it's already at quite a peak and getting on board, not just with your knowledge, which has to be top-notch, but with all the other elements that go with it, it can be pretty unforgiving. And I hope people give Dara a nicer time than they gave me when I started.
I hope they will, but then this is Twitter we're talking about here. It's
he's not a girl, so I think he might have a slightly smoother ride than me.
Yeah, I don't know what is it about young men on Twitter who suddenly grow a pair whenever they decide. Oh, there's a young lady there. What can we point out that's wrong with her? Her shoes look funny. And you go, the incels have got a lot to answer for. How about trying to be nice to a girl? You never know, you might get a date one day.
You're getting applause from the silence gallery over there. It's a culture, this, you know, red pill culture and men going their own way. We're getting into deep topics here, but you're absolutely right that sort of taking the mick out of a female in this day and age, you know, past primary school, it doesn't mean that they're going to like you back. You don't pull someone's pigtails and run off when you're 25. It doesn't work.
Yeah. And we know in the world of quiz that it is male dominated, especially white middle-aged men, etc. So if you're not from that demographic thing, you've got a much better chance of getting on quiz shows. Yeah. I pitched a few ideas to ITV, call it Beast Academy, for want of a better word. And I said, I only want to train up people under about 30, 35. Mm-hmm. And probably if they'd let me, an all-female lineup, for the simple reason is the market's there for good young female quizzers. Whereas I'm afraid fanatical young men who are probably on the spectrum somewhere don't realise that the very things that make him a good quizzer, the monomaniacal attention to detail, means they've got zero personality. And it's like trying to explain the colour blue. When I got the job as a chaser, one very well-known quizzer, who I shan't mention, said to me after the interviews, he said, well, I don't know what more I could have done. I got every question right. And he did. But I thought, it's like trying to explain the colour blue. He did not get at all. There was a performance element. I walk in and I'm in beast mode and I duck under the door frame. And I look like the slightly gone to seed rugby player I am. And Sue Allison, the first producer, just more or less said, that's who I want. Yeah. The fact I could actually back it up by quizzing was a benefit.
Yeah, people do often forget it's not just a quiz show. It's an entertainment show. People want to see someone with, you know, a personality, whether they like them or not. They can take against them or they can absolutely love them, but it's one way or the other. I can tell you about when I had my screen test, because I was up against two other people, and we all had to run through a couple of final chases, and I won against a 16, but I lost against a 20, and it was only they said, right, this is 16 to catch, this is a 20. It was absolutely no real contestants there. And we did a head-to-head where you had to do the what we call the frills, the bit of info in between each question, off the top of my head. And I thought that was going to be really tricky. One of the other contestants, I did spy on her recording, and she won both, and she got pretty much every question right. But it wasn't about getting every question right. They were looking for something, and it will never be able to put our finger on what it was, but yeah. I had more of it than she had.
Happy days.
You can invest your time in learning more and getting better at the quiz side if you've already got a knack for it, but you can't buy a personality and you can't buy the personality traits that TV producers are looking for. You can work on them, but there are plenty of people who are decent quizzes who feel that they are entitled to walk into one of the professional quiz jobs, and it's really not about that. You've got to have something else going on, and also not be that bothered if people hate you, because I think that was the thing at the start of the chase, wasn't it? They wanted you to be a pantomime villain. They wanted you to be
the exact opposite. They told us not to be. They told us just the facts, and then me being me, I started being a little bit playful, a bit of sledging and stuff. And the focus groups kind of picked up. Actually, they kind of liked it. It was the playful abuse. If I'd have just called someone, "You're a stupid beeping idiot," obviously they wouldn't be very happy. But if you make a thing going, "Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear," effectively all the tools I had as a teacher, I had to slap down a kid verbally. And I did it on the contestants. Effectively, my whole life's been job training for this. Well, it is. I mean, it's because I've been asked to put together a list of people for a potential future pro show. And the problem was there, as I got the list of people through, putting the producer hat on, I'm just going, okay, 100 people, 80 plus were white middle-aged men, 35 to 60, about 12, 13 women. Sorry, the numbers don't quite out. And I remember going, okay, there's 3 Asian males in that lineup. No black males, no black females, no Asian females. And I'm going from the TV point of view, you're not going to get a pro lineup where every person in that lineup is a 40-something middle-aged white male. I mean, the last time that was the Labour Party election before the last? You know, or probably the next Tory one. It's even they now have a diverse thing.
They're about now.
If you haven't got a personality, bad luck.
Absolutely.
And the problem is these guys just don't get it.
Yeah.
Because I'm chuckling, they're after our jobs and they've got no chance.
But it's taken this long for them to find Dara. And it's taken 5-6 years for them to be settled on somebody. You don't know how many people they've spoken to in that time, and they see something in him, and he is an absolutely fantastic character.
Mm.
So,
well, I've heard it was over 1,000 people they've looked at, and the number that they just strike off the list after a few minutes for personality, for looks, I'm sorry, but TV is a visual medium, mm-hmm. or there's some gaping hole in their knowledge. And you know, you've met the people who say, "I don't do sport," or "I don't do pop music." And the moment you say that, I say, "There's the door."
No.
You're a pro. You've got to be able to cover everything. Yeah. I can almost guarantee you've spent hundreds of hours studying reasonable level sport because you know you've got to cover it.
Yeah.
And history.
You've got to have an answer for everything. You've got to have a guess.
Yeah. You've really upped your game on history because it was a weakness, and we've seen it happen. And obviously Dara's having to look in his areas. Me, my weakness was food and drink, and I worked on it. And it's the thing I advise the pro. You work on your weaknesses, not your strengths. I mean, hopefully there will be another pro quiz. Let's face it, Eggheads is as near as dead as can be. It's on a life support machine with no episodes for 2 years. I mean, a shame. I love all the guys on it. Yeah. I hope they've got a job. But Richard Osman's House of Games has effectively taken their spot.
Mm.
And I hope there will be another pro quiz for the simple reason that Eggheads, 1,700 episodes, we're heading up there. They're not exactly bad investments for a TV company, but it's got to be the right one. And if I put my producer's head on, the problem is I'd want a lot of good players, but I'd also be saying I need to put almost like the beauty pageant part of this and line up a load of people and have a TV producer go, "Yeah, I like that lot." When I was at GSN, I pitched the idea of an international quiz league or a world quiz league, and the head honcho at GSN, her opening question was, "How many women would be in this lineup?" And I went, "If you're playing it off a level playing field, not many." And you could see her just going, "That's it, it's gone."
Yeah, if you're looking at the top 20 at the Worlds, then yeah, there's not many double X chromosomes in there.
Well, Every year, University Challenge has the why are there not more women in the lineup. ITV Studios, who produce it, could solve that at a stroke. All they do is insist every team be mixed, and then it would go away completely. And then how many people would then start saying tokenism when they've got someone? Because just about every team carries somebody who doesn't answer as much. They're there for a specific role.
Yeah.
But Anne has this fun with the social justice warriors always say to her, why aren't there more women? And Anne's response is, well, where are they? Where are you? You know, care to recommend anyone? And their response is, oh, no, I wouldn't do it. So, well, if you don't want to do it, you know, that's the price. To me, I long for the day where quizzing is like equestrianism. Mm-hmm. And the reason I mention equestrian is it's the only mixed sport in the Olympics. And I haven't done the numbers, but female riders, whatever their terminology is, equestrians, have done probably at least as well as men over the last 40, 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the reasons, the major one, is societal. It's perfectly acceptable for a young woman to be insane about horse riding.
Yeah.
So they're quite, whereas, let's face it, there is quite a bit of certainly implied sexism, if not out and out sexism, in the quiz work. CJ summed it up himself. He said there are five areas of activity he reckons he knows quite well: poker, darts, chess, quiz, and snooker, I think it is. And he said in all five, there are no reason at all why a woman can't be as good as a man. So where are they?
Yeah.
Societal is all I can think, cultural.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think this is definitely due one of our very special episode. It is something that needs a really deep dive. So we'll get some more opinions on that from you, I think, at a time in the future when we've planned it all out. But I think for now, I think we need to let you go and watch episode 4 of Beat the Chasers. No, not at all. I think it's been a fantastic chat with you. I wish Lucy could have been here. Well, she was here. She just couldn't chime in. It's been wonderful talking to you. And fingers crossed for a second series of Beat the Chasers, because we would absolutely love that. And I think the great British public would as well. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Vixen. Over and out.
So now it is time for our listener quiz.
Wow. Who was playing what there?
I was just freestyling on a ukulele, Jen.
Oh,
which I know is your instrument.
You're stealing my role there.
And I can't play at all, but listen to this.
Already better than me, mate, honestly. I am a very bad ukulele player.
So our listener quiz this week has been sent in by the one and the only Mr. Hassan Aslam, who did this quiz for Age UK, which is an amazing charity.
Fully approved.
The Ealing branch of Age UK. Age UK, my mum and dad had a helper from Age UK for years and years and years, lovely Valerie, before they sadly passed away. And I love Age UK so much. They're such a great charity because they really...
They do invaluable things that, you know, other charities don't think of.
Yes.
There's so much help and support they give.
Yeah. So
just by being there, just their phone line, they've got the helpline that people can ring into.
And I would imagine, at the moment, they are probably overrun and doing brilliant work. So hooray for them. Do give them some money if you have an extra couple of bob.
Yeah. Hassan, send us the Just Giving link or whatever platform you've been using, and maybe some listeners who enjoy this will whack a couple of quid to Age UK Ealing's.
And I'll tell you what will add value to this quiz is the fact that Amanda is going to be reading the questions. I'd imagine that's worth at least an extra couple of quid, isn't it?
I think so. And I don't know who that pretender was that was doing it a couple of weeks ago. Something she...
No. Chris someone?
Who?
No.
It was too polished and the pronunciations were too
we don't like slick on this podcast, do we? We prefer something a little bit rough around the edges.
Hey!
Rough around the edges and in the middle. And here she is. Amanda Redman. Right, Amanda, so...
Hey, I brushed my teeth for this today. You don't know how lucky you are. Yeah, I've been sent this lovely quiz by Hassan, and it is on a sporting theme.
Okay.
And there are 10 questions. So what I'm going to do,
I'm going to just test my buzzer now because you won't be hearing it again.
Oh yes, I'm so sorry.
It won't be that long every time, but it's
yeah. I was going to say we'll have the abridged version.
this one is mine.
And what is that, Jenny? I think you need to explain to the listener at home.
It's a steel ruler, which is being tapped upon it's one of those small, thick wine glasses, you know, the French style, but it's got some Jack Daniels in it at the moment.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, because I ran out of wine, which is a terrible sign, isn't it?
It looked like sherry.
I delivered a crate of beer today, though, so, oh dear.
I thought you were drinking some kind of British sherry drink, I've enjoyed in my dark moments.
It looks like it could be mead. I would like some mead, but that will remind me of going down my local pub. But I have a selection of beautiful meads, locally squeezed from bees or whatever.
Virgin bees.
Well, most of them are, aren't they? They're all women eunuchs.
Oh, bless.
They're all incels, literally incels.
Anyway, this has taken a turn.
Anyway,
let's get back to the quiz.
Yeah, I think we better had a sporting theme. I'm going to select the ones that are probably easier for me to read. I'm not going to lie, because there's a few issues with some of the questions. But we'll move swiftly on to question number one. Who won this year's women's singles at Wimbledon?
That's a great question. I mean, last year's, we've not had it yet.
It's cancelled this year, obviously, but yeah.
It's cancelled. There's none this year.
Oh, yes. So
the 2019. Yes.
It wasn't Sloane Stephens, was it? Sloane Stephens. She won something.
No.
Go on, Lucy. Guess a tennis.
Mariana Tenisovic.
Oh.
No, I wouldn't have been able to say that. If I'd seen that in writing.
Who was it? I've already
forgotten. It was a lady called Simona Halep.
Oh, yes, Simona. She's pretty good on the old tennis at the minute, to be fair. Although, what are they doing at the moment? How are they keeping... Are they keeping match ready? Or are they...
They're doing what I used to do. They're
sitting around eating biscuits.
What they're doing is they're just bouncing a ball against the back wall of the house. And just trying not to...
Annoying.
Not to break your dad's shed window, that kind of thing. That's what's going on.
Yeah, could see Rafa's doing that in his backyard, which is in his terrace.
And his brothers and sisters are going, oh no, I wanted to do swing ball. They're all doing swing ball.
I love a game.
I loved swing ball, but I was terrible at it.
Yeah.
I love a game of swing ball. I might actually order myself one to see me through the rest of quarantine. Okay, well, I mean, we can do more than 5 questions if need be, but I'm going to move on to question number 2. Which New Zealand-born cricketer helped England win this year's Cricket World Cup against, of all countries, New Zealand?
Which one of them is...
Lucy.
Cricket McCricket Face.
Correct.
I'm trying, because a lot of the England cricketers, well, it's England and Wales cricket, were not born in England or Wales. was it Joe Root? No, he's English. No, go on.
Swanky Buttocks.
you have got the right initials, but switch. It's Ben Stokes.
Ah.
So maybe, yeah.
Ah, of course.
Swanky Buttocks Stokes.
Buttocks Swanky.
Okay, so which football team was promoted to the Premier League in May from the Championship via the playoff system?
Who won the playoffs? Was it? Who won in the playoffs?
Lucy.
Derby County.
No.
Oh, good shout, though.
Yeah.
I'll go for... Who was it? Fulham?
No.
Give us the region of the country.
I've never known. I've heard of this team, but I've never...
You don't know where...
So it's not like named after a city then, obviously. So it's...
I mean, not a city I've been to.
Port Vale.
No, not Port... Port Vale in the Premiership would be lovely.
I think it's London.
What's the initial?
QPR.
AV?
Aston Villa.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Birmingham, mate.
Yes, that's definitely not London. Definitely not London.
Okay, it's a city, though. Give me my due.
That was far too high a division for me to have any interest in.
Where's Bolton, then?
As we speak, season has not been ended yet, we are flat bottom of League One, which is the league below
the Championship,
which is the league below the Premier League.
Division 3 in old money.
Division 3 in old money, and we would have had to have a miraculous run of results and for other teams to be desperately unlucky to stand any chance of holding on, because we had a 12-point penalty at the... So we started the season on minus 12 points. We are positive, but unfortunately, just a little bit too far adrift. So I'm assuming at some point they will call off the season and we'll be relegated, or we'll continue to play the season and we'll still be relegated just a bit later. It's very exciting.
The flat bottom leagues just make the rocking world go round.
Right.
Am I
right?
Thought so.
That's what they say, Amanda, in the football clubs of London and Birmingham.
So, question number 4. The Miami Marlins are a professional team in which sport? It's Lucy.
Baseball
is correct.
Because it's the Miami Dolphins is the football team, right?
Football. Yeah, and Miami Heat play basketball. There we go. So Lucy's beating me now.
I thought there'd be a good chance of somebody getting that one, definitely.
That was a very good answer. I was doing the elimination thing. I was like, well, it's not. Yeah.
I think even I would know the next one, guys. So, I mean, come on.
Is it about Aston Villa?
Sadly not. Which country knocked England's women out of last year's Football World Cup? Go on, Jenny.
USA.
USA. USA. Correct.
Yeah.
Was it not the final? They don't really get knocked out if they reach the final.
They got knocked out of getting, to the top place in the World Cup. Because
I was in America for the final.
Oh, yes.
Waiting to be summoned to Simon Cowell's house. I got up early that morning, and the pub that was next door to the hotel was open from stupid o'clock for people who wanted to watch women's football.
Oh, how fun.
Well, soccer. Because apparently now USA have realised that there is such a great sport as football, and now they invented it. And it's winning. And they're the bestest ever in the universe at all the football. To Pele, friend.
I don't know who won that.
It was 1-1.
It was a draw. Yeah. And I'm happy to accept that. I shake your hand virtually over
there we go.
The device.
We're doing a sportsmanlike.
Yeah, we're swapping shirts.
Oh, God, stop. Both of you, for the love of God.
No, I've been wearing mine for days. It's absolutely rank. You wouldn't want to swap this.
I've still got my sports bra on. It's
no,
so nice.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much to Hassan Aslam for that brilliant quiz, which we butchered. But hopefully...
they were really good questions, to be fair, Hassan. We've run out of energy. Yeah.
Well, and hopefully the people who were...
We didn't do them justice.
The people who were competing for the brilliant Age UK... did better than we did and can be listening to this and be very smug. So well done, you guys. Also, thank you to Mark Labette for being an amazing guest. I enjoyed that interview very much from afar. Well, not that afar, just from sitting literally watching it. I thought he was brilliant, and I've been loving Beat the Chasers. And if you've been enjoying Beat the Chasers, then why not get in touch with ITV and tell them that you'd like a full series, because I have.
And that Jenny deserves a pay rise.
Yeah, make it Beat the Jenny. With Chasers.
Apparently, according to the Daily Express article this week, I have amassed a fortune of £3.2 million.
Oh, congratulations!
Yeah, I mean, I wish. I think there's been some identity theft somewhere, and someone called Jenny Ryan somewhere in the world.
I can see. Look, the listeners can't see this, but you're sitting there with your gold microphone and your gold glasses in a gold house, playing it all coy. Anyway,
but you know, I'm going to donate a small part of my vast wealth to AGK in thanks for that quiz.
And talking of charity, if you want to support Carers UK, we at Fingers on Buzzers are doing some play-alongs during lockdown. If you want to check our social media, we'll let you know the details of those. Tremendous fun, and you'll be raising money for charity, so please do come and join us. So thank you very much for being with us.
Cheers,
and we love you very much. Goodbye.
Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye. Bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.